When you talk about the basic necessities of life, you usually mean food, shelter, and clothing. One teacher once told me that love was on the list too, but that seems more like a song lyric or something, you know, that the hippies are wedded to. In any case, one thing not on the list of those necessities is lipstick, unless you're talking to a woman who was quoted in the LA Times recently as saying, "Sometimes a woman can have an empty stomach, but she has to have her lipstick." This story about Latina women who leverage what little they have to buy quality cosmetics is the latest in our series, Ripped. From the headlines. And please don't interpret our sound effects as an endorsement of the Fred Thompson campaign. LA Times reporter Molly Hennessy Fisk wrote the story, and she joins us now. Hi, Molly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Tell me how you found out about the subculture phenomenon, what do you want to call it, of these women who are selling Mary Kay cosmetics?
Well, I'd actually wanted to do this story for a while. I first got the idea after I traveled to Texas to visit a friend in Dallas, and it was sort of exposed to the hometown of Mary Kay. And I worked in various other states and kept seeing this popping up in the Latino community in North Carolina, in New York, and finally here in California. And I managed to track down the sort of main character in the story here, who seemed like the perfect person to sort of explain this and tell the story through.
Yeah, you told the story through the character, the great journalistic technique, and it hooked us. And, you know, as a reader, I was very interested in Altagracia. Is that how you pronounce her first name, Valdez?
That is, and it sort of roughly translates into high or tall and grace.
Yeah.
So kind of an evocative name.
Who is she? How'd she get into Mary Kay?
She is a mother of seven. She's 60 years old, and she came to the U.S. from Mexico, put herself through high school, learned English mostly here, and worked mostly as a seamstress while she was raising her kids. Her husband was a construction worker, and later in life, after most of her kids had moved out, she decided that she wanted to have a career of her own and some sort of financial independence, and she saw Mary Kay as a way to do that.
And was this a rational decision economically?
Well, you know, she and her youngest daughter, who's 20 and is developmentally disabled, live in this one-bedroom apartment. And so she's spending a lot of her time out on the road, you know, in, you know, rain or shine, late into the night, sometimes on weekends working. But realistically, a lot of her peers are doing that just in low-paid jobs, or sometimes one or two jobs. So I guess it's a question of, which job are you choosing? In this job, she felt like she had more flexibility. She could take her daughter with her. But the question is the payoff there in the end? And that's what I was trying to sort of address in the story.
And when they hold a Cadillac as the prize for if you sell
enough.
And
not just any Cadillac, a pink Cadillac.
Of course.
Although the caddies today are a little paler pink. It's a little more subtle.
Oh, yeah. More subtle than a pink Cadillac sounds like one of those lines from a Raymond Carver story or something. But can a salesperson realistically, how much do you have to sell to get a Cadillac? Can she achieve that goal?
Well, for her, it was $18,000, but it wasn't just her. It was her sales team of recruits, what they call sales consultants, or in Spanish, consultoras. And she was very motivational. She had this sort of sweet grandmotherly way of motivating her ladies. Mm. And her sort of supervisor, the national sales director who supervises her, is also a Latina immigrant from Nicaragua. Her name's Sandra Chamorro, and she's the one who said the thing about the lipstick. And Sandra is definitely in the line of Mary Kay, this sort of inspirational figure who says things like that, and it really motivates.
About you know, you can have an empty stomach, that's one thing, but you really need your lipstick. That was the line we're talking
about.
Right.
And, having reported in Mexico a little bit, I'm not Mexican-American, but I did report in Mexico for a little while. My experience there in even really poor neighborhoods, like in northern Mexico that they call the colonias, you would have women coming out of these, cardboard shacks, and they'd be perfectly made up with, their hair just in place, even though they didn't have running water. So when I talked to Sandra about this, she said, this isn't just a Mexican thing. Look at America. Rosie the Riveter wore lipstick. So there's this idea that you motivate yourself by looking good. It's almost like, an Oprah sort of a Martha Stewart idea.
Yeah. Do you think that the popularity of their products in the Latina community surprised Mary Kay? Because I always think of Mary Kay as sort of big, blonde, almost bouffant hairdo, you know, that kind of big Texas hair and lots of makeup. Although it's
a
smart company.
It was when when she started the company in 1963. I think it probably did, but, you know, they latched onto it. They're going with it. And it's not just here. They also have developed Mary Kay sales networks in Central and Southern America, you know, in Mexico, in Guatemala, in a bunch of different countries. I think it's something like 31 countries, and in Asia as well. So I think they're sort of parlaying the immigrant experience into sales overseas, too.
Do you think Mary Kay is mostly helping the people who sell for them, especially these Latin American immigrants, or is there any predatory aspect to it?
Well, I think, like I said in the story, some of it has to do with the promise of America. You know, the promise of America is if you work hard, right, you know, land of opportunity, some people are going to succeed. And you've got Altagracia's boss, Sandra, who is a national sales director. She's one of the 500, you know, top, you know, sellers in the country. And then you've got the roughly 1.7 million, you know, consultoras on the bottom of the ladder just trying to make it up. And Altagracia is somewhere in between. So is the investment of time and so forth worth it? Well, I don't know, but I, you know, sometimes I wonder that in my job. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the economy we live in.
But you don't have to rope in, like, sub reporters under you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, what was the reaction to your story?
I heard from various kinds of reaction. I heard from some Mary Kay salespeople who said they liked it. Altagracia and Sandra liked it. I heard from some people who, were questioning sort of the immigration aspect of it, you know, wondering about, you know, were these, you know, documented or undocumented immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of companies who wanted to offer Altagracia other job opportunities.
Did you get much traffic on just sort of moral judgments? How could they be spending money on cosmetics when they don't have much money to begin with?
Surprisingly, no. I didn't.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about in a second. But I want to thank you first, LA Times reporter Molly Hennessy Fisk. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks. And if you want to hear more from Altagracia, we have an audio presentation on our website at latimes.com.
All right. Good plug.